Welcome to Outlandish Voices, the podcast, made possible by Vox FM. I'm your host, Laura Gooden. Today's story is Panthers Ahead, written and read by Jackie Dent.
There was only one car on the road, and that was Molly's. Molly was an interminably cheery woman with a smile that smelt of desperation. She dressed like a librarian and drove a Volvo, and her favourite colour was green. And she was a god. Not a very important one. She was the god of walking into a room and forgetting what you came in for. But unlike some other gods, Molly took her job very seriously and always handed in her paperwork on time. Tonight, Molly was on official business. She had a house call at the residence of one L.T. Party on a small island somewhere in the Falklands. Molly squinted at the signs. They were hard to make out through the rain, which, like the darkness, was incessant on the immortal highway. Molly was just passing a turnoff for Nepal when she spotted the hitchhiker. He lurked in the shadows, upright and alert, paws aligned in front of his sleek, black body, which was as large as a man's. At his feet, a cardboard sign said, Mozambique. Molly checked her watch. Normally, she would never even consider picking up a hitchhiker. But if she left a poor, defenseless panther to sit in the rain, Molly knew she would scarcely deserve the name of animal lover. So she flicked the indicator and swung the steering wheel, the panther's eyes flashing like ghostly headlights as she pulled over to the side of the road. Stranger things than a panther have come out of the office of Jack, the god of whims, at the end of a working day. When the divine tax returns are due, it's not uncommon to find troops of creeping vine men, eight-armed spider monkeys, and carnivorous office chairs wandering the halls of paradise. Such things always seem like a good idea at the time. The trouble was that without existence termination permission, which was notoriously difficult to obtain, such creatures had to stick around for good. But there was plenty of work in the basement for creatures with basic literacy skills and a little house training. Fed on a diet of protein supplements, somewhere in a dark maze of cabinets, the parentless creations of the gods conveyed documents to their proper locations whilst trying to imagine the colour of the jungle. This is how panthers end up working as filing clerks. At first, the panther had seemed reluctant to be strapped into the car with Molly. When she had cooed and given him a scratch behind the ear, he had even made attempts to exit the vehicle. Now he sat folded into the passenger side of Molly's car, seatbelt fastened, pink towel wrapped tightly about his dripping frame. He had his head leant against the window, engaged in an epic staring match with the night. Not many people know there's a god for walking into a room and forgetting what you came in for, Molly prattled, so I don't get many house calls. But honestly, I've always preferred the satisfaction of good, solid paperwork. Are you sure you haven't met before? You do look familiar. The panther turned his yellow eyes on Molly and gave the tiniest shift of the head to indicate that no, they had never met before, then turned and regarded the rain with a longing expression. But of course, those filing animals spoil all the fun, Molly continued. They're so unfriendly. I was down there yesterday and all I asked the sloth to do was brush the fur out of the filing cabinet and I could have sworn he gave me, well, I won't repeat it, but it was very rude. And it's the same with all of them, too proud, especially the larger ones. Molly stifled a sharp intake of breath as something inside her head switched on. She threw the panther a furtive side glance. He was watching her with rapt attention. Of course, Molly had received a memo from management only a week before on the seriousness of filing escapees. There was a reason why filers weren't allowed onto Earth. She didn't know what it was, but she was sure it was a good one. So Molly cleared her throat and said in a voice that quavered only slightly, "Speaking of work, I just realised I've forgotten a very important document. Would you mind if we made a quick detour back to the office? It won't take long." A large black paw was placed firmly over her hand on the steering wheel, extending hook-like claws into her skin. "Oh, you're rather close there," said Molly tremulously. The panther had leaned forward, his face close enough to kiss her. Slightly lightheadedly, Molly reflected that she hadn't really appreciated how large and yellow his fangs were. From his mouth was coming a sound like a satanic lawnmower, a throaty, menacing kind of purr. "All right then," said Molly in a would-be calm voice. "We'll just head straight on to my house call, shall we?" The lawnmower became a tractor engine as the panther indicated with a claw the long stretch of road before them. Molly nodded, whimpering. Now the panther's breath was making warm eddies inside her ear. They passed a sign indicating the approach of the Falkland exit and Molly's frumpy bottom began to squirm. Her eyes darted nervously between the panther and the road. The turnoff appeared ahead and, without thinking, Molly swerved. The panther's response was immediate. With a deep-throated roar, claws were inserted into each finger of Molly's left hand, and before she had time to wonder at the panther's dexterity, she found her arm being operated like a puppet, swinging the steering wheel back around. The car skidded in a graceless arc and hurtled back onto the highway. Molly was screaming, blood running down her arm where the panther's claws still clung. The car slid off the road, began a half-hearted traversal of a rubble incline, and then gave up. Having just enough presence of mind to pull on the handbrake, Molly then placed her bloodied hands over her face and collapsed into the steering wheel, uttering strangled moans. "My house call! My house call! I've missed my house call!" she was wailing. "It was the first one in 5 years! Management only knows how long I'll have to wait for another one!" The panther was looking rather startled. His eyes were wide, ears tilted backwards to escape the horrifying cries of the god. Tentatively, he shuffled towards Molly, paused, and began to lick her face. "Leave me alone!" The words tumbled out of Molly in a fury. "You don't understand. Stupid animal. There aren't even any panthers in Mozambique. They come from South America, you idiot." And with that, she reburied her face in the steering wheel, snot trickling into her tubby teardrops upon the upholstery. There was silence and stillness beside her. Then, with a flood of cold air, Molly heard the click of the car door and felt the soft swish of a tail. She looked over to the seat and saw nothing but an empty pink towel, garnished with a single tuft of wet, black fur. She sniffed, wincing at the rawness of the cold as she shut the door, remembering with a yelp her damaged fingers. She examined the wounds. Not too serious, but she would have to make an appointment with the God of Healing. She wondered if she could still catch him before he left and checked her watch. And suddenly Molly remembered her house call. It wasn't too late. If she left now, she could still make it. 2 minutes and one hastily bandaged hand later, Molly was speeding back along the highway in search of her turnoff. 5 years of paperwork had been leading up to this. 5 long years since she had filled out that pink paper form, that lovely house call report that meant someone had called to her for aid. She had written plenty of yellow forms, of course, several hundred a day. Reports on instances of forgetfulness in every room of every house on every continent, each one lovingly written in her own neat hand. They all sat forgotten in the basement, lorded over by creatures whose presence had always inspired in her a strange melancholy that she had never been able to understand. The space inside the car seemed suddenly oppressive. Somewhere out in the darkness echoed the mournful yowl of a panther, cold, tired, and terribly alone. And for the second time that evening, Molly missed her turn-off. On a small island somewhere in the Falklands, Mr. Lawrence T. Pardee stood in his kitchen, wondering what on earth he came in for. He was a rather slow and vague sort of fellow, and had found himself in this position far too many times. The difference was that this time he sent up a silent prayer for aid. Nothing happened. Then, quite at random, Lawrence received a startling vision. It was of an elderly librarian and a panther, bounding and leaping through luscious green jungle. Across the woman's face was plastered a wide grin, and, although it is physically impossible for a panther to smile, his eyes seemed to crinkle in a smiling kind of way. Lawrence shook his head and the image vanished. How odd. He couldn't say for certain, but he felt as though he had seen the woman before, or would see her, or had been going to see her, or... He shook his head again. What strange thoughts he was having today. Lawrence turned from the kitchen, confused and empty-handed. And yet, as he exited the room, he experienced an inexplicable feeling of satisfaction.
That was Panthers Ahead, written and read by Jackie Dent. Find out more about Jackie from her website, www.jackiedent.net. That's JACQUIDENT.net. Thank you for listening to Outlandish Voices, the podcast, made possible by Vox FM. This podcast was produced by Laura Gooden. Original music by Houston Dunleavy. Find us on Facebook. Search for Outlandish Voices, the podcast. See you next time.